start the show. Welcome, everyone. Hey, now, welcome into Morning Invest on this Tuesday, January 5th. This is Election Day in one state, all eyes on Georgia. And what unfolds today will set the stage for the rest of President-elect Biden's tenure in office. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but Georgia is very, very important today. So we will look at the very latest, the race down there, President Trump down there last night, President-elect Joe Biden down there last night, and the big push for stimulus last night. We're going to talk about a new round of stimulus, and this is the most excited I've been for a big package of stimulus unfolding under President-elect Biden. President-elect Biden was the first thing he talked about last night down in Georgia is stimulus, $2,000 stimulus checks. But even beyond that, sources are lining up to point to Joe Biden and Janet Yellen, the incoming Treasury Secretary, lining up a massive, regular, endless is the word being thrown around, stimulus plan for the American people, for business. Yes, this is what we are going to be facing. And if you pay attention to the Wall Street Journal and others, they'll call it socialism. They're going to tax the rich. And they're going to redistribute the wealth. That's how the conservative media will frame it. But you're smarter than that. So we'll dive into what's being said this morning and the sources on that story. I'm really excited about that. Welcome in. If you're new here, please subscribe. This is the only morning progressive news show that covers the issues that I think matter to the American people that the mainstream media will not cover. They'll pretend like we need to be in endless wars. They'll pretend like you don't need health care. They'll pretend like the people you have elected right now, the centrist Republicans and Democrats, are great for you, when all they are is great for big business and Wall Street and the military-industrial complex. So welcome in on this Tuesday. Boy, do we have a lot to get to today on the show. We're going to get to all of your news in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our show sponsor today. And I'm really excited about this because, look, a lot of you want to start a business, but you just don't know how to do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, in 48 hours... Within 48 hours, yes, you could set up a multi-million dollar business online without even having to leave your home. You have a great idea. Maybe it's e-commerce. Maybe it's a blog. You can do it, and you can do it in a short amount of time, but you need help setting up that website. So our friends at Atomic Social, we had such a great response with them on the show just a few months ago that they decided to come back, and we're thrilled to have them here. What they do is they are an agency that will help you deliver results and build a website for an incredible discount. So they will help you with SEO, building a website from the ground up. They will build 8 pages of a website for you. And right now they're going to do it at 50% off. That's right. So you can come to their website. You can even check out their different web designs of other websites that they've built for other clients. And they do such a fantastic job. One of the things you'll do is you go there, you want to request a quote. So if you go to morninginvest.com/atomic, okay, you'll click on this and what'll happen is a calendar will pop up, okay, and you'll get on the phone with them. They want to actually talk to you. And here's what the calendar will look like. Okay, you'll book a 20-minute phone call, totally free, and they'll walk you through your idea to see if your idea works and how they can help you build this website. And then you just click on your time, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day you want to make a 20-minute phone call with them for free, okay, and they're going to give you 50% off your website design just by using our link. So go to morninginvest.com/atomic. We will have a link in the show description as well for you. So you can go there if you're driving, you can't listen to it right now or click on it, but check them out at Atomic Social, a fantastic digital agency that's going to make your dreams come a reality. I had a lot of people after we featured them last time reach out to me and say, Clayton, thank you for telling us about them. I just booked a phone call with them and I'm taking the next steps. I want to build a business. As you know, Congress continues to crap all over us. We need to do something on our own to build revenue in our lives. And this is a great way to do it. So thanks to Atomic Social for supporting our show here. We really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the news and let's get you your stimulus update now. So I'm going to say this. This is the most excited I've been for stimulus, for news around the stimulus in a long time, because we are getting word from Washington that Janet Yellen, President-elect Biden, and others who have been in these discussions are looking to put forth sort of a regular, and as the Wall Street Journal calls it, an endless stimulus plan for the American people. Now, of course, the Wall Street Journal is concerned about it. They're a conservative newspaper. They're worried, of course, that this is going to be a problem and that this will lead to socialism, which I often, when I hear, you know, the Wall Street Journal call something like this socialism, it makes me wonder if they even understand what that means. Because under socialism, of course, you're controlling the means of production. You know, it's all sort of disintermediated. But what they're talking about, this Janet Yellen, Joe Biden plan, really is taxing the wealthy, increasing taxes on the wealthy, and making sure that there are regulations in place so businesses don't run all over you, and providing regular stimulus for the American people. Now, here's the Wall Street Journal and what they are concerned about this morning. I'm actually excited about, so I think it's funny to kind of read through the lines here. Here's what they say. Welcome to the era of nonstop stimulus under Biden. They say the suggestion that anything less than stimulus levels of spending is economically harmful is effectively a call for a new era of permanent stimulus. The Wall Street Journal says this is what Mr. Biden and Treasury Secretary Jack Lew and former Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen are now proposing. Mr. Biden's proposed program is little more than Mr. Obama's tax, spend, and regulate agenda, but on steroids, they say. And he says, because his appointees have merely grayer retreads of the Obama administration, it is excessively optimistic to believe that his stimulus will do any more good for the economy than Mr. Obama's did. And one of the things, of course, they highlight is Jack Lew, who said, one of the big reasons we took so long to come out of the economic collapse of 2008-2009 is that they didn't spend enough on stimulus. And there are many experts that believe that's the case. So what they're saying is that Mr. Biden has learned his lesson on that, that Janet Yellen has learned her lesson on that, and Janet Yellen working with the Federal Reserve have learned their lesson on that. We've heard members of the Federal Reserve talk about the failures of 2007, 2008, 2009. And so putting in place a massive package that will continue to pump money into, you know, into business, of course, you know that's going to happen under Biden. It's going to be pumping into Wall Street. We already know up until 2023 or even 2024 that massive stimulus will be flowing into Wall Street. But what about the American people? We already know that there are calls for $2,000 stimulus checks and regular $2,000 stimulus checks from now until the end of the pandemic. We could see an increase in Social Security benefits. There could be an increase in Social Security disability benefits. There could be a wiping away of student loan debt almost entirely or upwards of $50,000, which is gaining traction. But multiple members of Congress now calling for that repeated $2,000 a month in stimulus. It says in this piece, in reality, stimulus spending has nothing to do with long-term good economic outcomes and everything to do with political outcomes, it says. What is socialism, they say, except a permanent stimulus? Right. So giving people universal health care is permanent stimulus. Ending foreign wars is permanent stimulus. What is socialism except permanent stimulus? And if that really is what they believe, and we know that stimulus works, then what's so wrong with that? Give me some socialism, baby.
Well, what I don't really get is people are so against it for the people, but they don't say anything when it's for corporations.
Right. I mean, exactly what Bernie Sanders called out on the floor of the Senate the other day, right? You think, oh, it's interesting, Senator Thune, that you're suddenly against stimulus for the rich, you know, giving checks out to people that might make over $100,000. But where were you when you were providing social stimulus for Amazon? Billions of dollars, tax cuts, et cetera. Billions of dollars going to these oil and gas companies where they pay $0 in taxes, but they actually get money back from the government? Well, they're creating jobs. Oh, right. That's right. Remember the types of jobs that Amazon's been creating, right? We know the story's there. So this idea that, oh, what is socialism except a permanent stimulus plan? Oh, heaven forbid. When private investment buckles under confiscatory taxes and productivity falters with the decline of private innovation, socialism employs unending stimulus to substitute public investment for real private investment. So let me ask you how the alternative has worked out, which is billions and trillions of dollars for big businesses that doesn't trickle down to the people. So your argument then really is the opposite, which is trickle-down economics, right? That let's make sure that we give tax breaks and incentives to these big companies so they'll hire people. Huh, they're not hiring. They're laying people off. And they're being rewarded on Wall Street with inflated share prices because they've been letting people go, firing people. It goes on. Mr. Biden and Bernie Sanders' unity document is ready to be made a playbook for this program. The unity program, bringing together stimulus for the American people, lifting people up out of poverty, giving people a real wage, workers' rights, Medicare for all, universal health care, whatever you want to call it, ending foreign wars. That's, of course, what the progressives want. Biden doesn't plan on probably ending any kind of foreign wars because he supports wars. And he supports expansion of the military-industrial complex. So perhaps, over at the Wall Street Journal, you shouldn't get your hopes up too much. But again, according to their sourcing, this is coming together under a Janet Yellen Biden presidency under the Federal Reserve with Jerome Powell, as they are friends. So this Jack Lew policy from years gone past, where the biggest mistake under Obama's recovery was not providing enough stimulus. And even Republicans have criticized the Obama era. You only gave out like $100 during Obama's presidency. How heartless are you, Republicans have said. During Obama, when we saw the Great Recession, you only gave out like $100 to people. Shame on you, they said. Okay, here's your chance now. So last night, President-elect Biden down in Georgia, and the very first thing that he talked about when he was there, yes, stimulus. Talking about Georgia as a referendum on stimulus. And folks, we could end up seeing a $2,000 stimulus plan unfold in days. The very plan that Mitch McConnell wouldn't bring to the floor of the Senate could very well be resurrected almost immediately, President-elect Biden has said. Listen.
To change America again. And this is not an exaggeration. Georgia, the whole nation is looking to you. To lead us forward, for real. You know it. You cannot turn on any national television show without knowing about what's going on here and what you all are doing. The power is literally in your hands. Unlike any time in my career, one state can chart the course, not just for the next 4 years, but for the next generation. By electing John and the Reverend, you can make an immediate difference in your own lives.
So get out and vote today, he's saying. Today, Election Day in Georgia, you can make an immediate difference in your own lives, but then all across America because of stimulus. This is the very first thing he said last night on the stage.
The lives of the people all across this country, because their election will put an end to the block in Washington, that $2,000 stimulus check. That money that will go out the door immediately, tell people who are in real trouble. Think about what it will mean to your lives. Putting food on the table, paying rent, paying part of your mortgage, paying down the credit card, paying the phone bill, the gas bill, the electric bill. Just look around. Millions of people in this country are out of work through no fault of their own. No fault of their own.
So that was the message last night down in Georgia, President-elect Biden saying, hey, vote for John Ossoff, vote for the Reverend Raphael Warnock. They support $2,000 stimulus checks. And by the way, they are the real senators that support $2,000 stimulus checks. As you know, of course, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue were out, of course, against stimulus checks. And then when it was politically opportunistic for them, they suddenly threw their support behind $2,000 stimulus checks. Of course, their Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, didn't bring it to the floor for a vote. So it's kind of a conundrum. I guess if you're a Georgian right now, who do you believe? Take your chances, I guess, on someone who actually gives a crap about you and your family's well-being instead of just playing politics when it's politically convenient. I mean, let me just ask you in the chat right now. Do you believe Kelly Loeffler? Do you believe David Perdue when they tell you that even though before they didn't support stimulus checks, but now that it counts them for them to win this election, they suddenly support that? Do you think that under David Perdue or Kelly Loeffler that Mitch McConnell will pass stimulus checks? $2,000 stimulus checks. And you think that there's a chance for recurring stimulus checks under a Mitch McConnell-controlled Senate? Let me know in the chat. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that. Most people just saying, no, no, no. Hey, David, have you seen any yeses come through? Because
I'm dealing with a bot over on Facebook, but no yeses so far.
No yeses. No yeses. David's dealing with a robot over on Facebook.
There is a massive bot that's just commenting over on Facebook, and I'm trying to control it.
By the way, we do have some bots occasionally. Like, there is a crazy bot that has been, like, impersonating our channel. They create, like, a new account, like, and we think we got a handle on it, but we've reported it to YouTube. So if you see someone commenting, trying to get you to buy Bitcoin or something using our name, Morning Invest, I think that's what they were doing, weren't they?
Yes. Well, they're trying to get you to send WhatsApp messages and stuff. Like, Clayton will never proposition you for anything on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, ever.
Ever, ever, ever. I will never ask you to send me a WhatsApp message, okay, to buy Bitcoin through my coin purse, okay? That will never happen. So sometimes you'll see a Morning Invest comment that's not from me, and that really bothers me because they use my logo and they use my name.
Now, on the other hand, will take WhatsApp messages if it contains money. I'll leave the URL in the description. <Just kidding.
laughs> Send David. He likes payment in tacos is how he goes. But I should tell you, I mean, bringing up scams, we should talk about this because there are a number of stimulus scams floating around this morning. The Better Business Bureau is warning about them. The FTC is warning about them. And so let me tell you about them. That was on my list of to-do items today to talk about. So I'm going to skip right there since this came up. According to the BBB scam tracker, scammers were contacting people through text messages. So if you receive a text message, have any of you watching right now received a text message about stimulus? Have any of you received an email about stimulus? Have any of you received a robo phone call about stimulus? And what they want you to do is provide them with some information, right? And then they're going to expedite and get you your stimulus check more quickly. That doesn't exist, okay? The IRS is not doing that. So if you receive a text message or an email or a phone call, these are scammers. And so far, they've managed to make over like $30 million from poor people. They've taken advantage of people who've given them personal information, and then they've scammed them, identity theft, etc. So please do not answer those text messages. Do not answer just hang up on a robocall and report it, okay? And if you get an email like that, you can also report it to the IRS. So that's very important for you to do. Another moment of clarity here that we should all talk about is where is your stimulus? Well, many of you wondering, you know, I never got my stimulus yet. Well, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin announced the IRS began mailing paper stimulus checks on December 30th to those without direct deposit information on file. So I don't know how many of you are watching right now. Let me know in the chat. Are you waiting on a paper version of your stimulus check? Those went out on the 30th. He said that because of the January 1st mail holiday, that would delay service as well. Many people will find their stimulus funds, though, in their mailboxes yesterday or today. So many of you might go to the mailbox today if you're waiting on a paper check, and you might see it there today, which is good news. The $600 checks, of course. The IRS says it plans to launch the Get My Payment tool, which is similar to the one used in March. If you go to their website today, if you go to irs.gov, you'll see right here on the front page, they have information about the now delivering second round of payments. And if you scroll down, you'll see the Get My Payment button right there. So the Get My Payment button is right there. And what you'll do during that is you'll be able to find out where your stimulus is. You'll be able to, you know, get information about that based on your, I think, on your Social Security number, et cetera. And if you need to get on the phone with them as well, they are accepting phone calls. So there are some options there in the coming days for you to find out where your payment is. They do want to help you get it. So if you don't, they don't have your information on file, that's one of the issues they're dealing with. Also, it does say, please do not call the IRS about the second stimulus payment. Our phone assisters do not have additional information beyond what's available here on the website. So just make sure, click on that Get My Payment application. Make sure your information is in their system, your direct deposit information, etc. Again, by going to irs.gov. gov. And of course, all of that is available. People that don't receive their full payment by then, by the January 15th, they're hoping to have all of these payments out by January 15th. So, you know, what, 10 days, right? And so if you don't get it by then, if you don't receive your full payment by then what you'll do is you're able to file the missing amount on your 2021 tax returns through the IRS recovery rebate credit. So unfortunately, it looks like they're not just going to be sending out additional checks. So like if you don't get your payment by January 15th, then you get to claim it as a tax credit, which is, I think, is really sucky, right? So they get to hang on to this money until you file your taxes and get it in the form of a rebate for 2021. So you literally have to wait until next year when you file taxes in 2022 to get your $600. That's the American government for you, working for you. I want to make a little commercial. American government, working for you. So John Ossoff down there last night was one of the potential senators talking about $2,000 stimulus checks. I mean, they were all over this last night, making this populist pitch. In Georgia, Democrats close with their populist pitch of $2,000 stimulus checks. In this historically conservative state won by President-elect Biden, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock are leaning in on the prospect of a Democratic-controlled Senate and pushing for $2,000 stimulus. At the rally, they also talked about their contrast. They talked about they're really framing the race as a referendum on whether or not Congress would pass a $15 minimum wage also. An infrastructure package to fix roads and bridges across the United States. Like, President Trump has promised that for years. He hasn't done it. And a COVID-19 recovery package in the form of stimulus. And they've said on stage last night that Republicans will block it at every turn, which we've already seen evidence of that. So here's what John Biden said last night. He said their election will put an end to the block in Washington on the $2,000 stimulus checks. If you send Perdue and Loeffler back to Washington, those checks will never get there. It's just that simple. The power is literally in your hands, he said. So good news for Georgians. The election is ends tonight. We're going to be watching it, of course, very closely tonight as those returns come in. I do not expect tonight to have a result. I think it's going to take probably a few days for them to tabulate these results to make sure that there are no inconsistencies. I think all eyes and scrutiny will be on them to make sure that there are no mistakes tonight. I'm sure you're going to be seeing President Trump crying foul almost immediately, which he did last night. He spent about an hour or longer in his speech really rambling on about election problems and election inconsistencies. And, you know, it just kind of breaks my heart in a way. If they really had inconsistencies, if they really had significant proof, and if they could have, they could have individuals that actually researched this, investigated it. If they could have put forward people other than Rudy Giuliani to mount this case, actually provide real evidence that could be investigated, particularly in Pennsylvania, I think is the most notable area where they could have done deeper research on it. But instead, you know, these are the people that he surrounded himself with in Rudy Giuliani, with shifting stories and, you know, shifting political diatribes. So here's where we are right now. President Trump, though, last night was making his one final pitch for Mike Pence. So Vice President Mike Pence, of course, on tomorrow will certify the election results in the Senate. He will preside over the Senate as the president of the Senate, as the vice president. And President Trump last night made one final pitch to basically get these results overturned. He said to the president, he said to Vice President Pence, I hope he will come through for us. I hope he will come through for us. Our great vice president. He should come through for us. Let's see if I can get this sound. I tried to dig for the sound bite and it didn't come through. Here it is. I got it now. Got to make sure that the sound is fixed here. Sorry, it was a little late in dubbing over. Let me just make sure it's good to go before I bring it in without an echo for you guys. Here's President Trump calling on Vice President Pence to be a good guy, you know, make it happen.
And I hope Mike Pence comes through for us, I have to tell you. I hope that our great Vice President comes through for us. He's a great guy. course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much.
I like Clayton. Well, I like you, but man, if you don't show up for your morning show, I'm not going to like you as much. You don't come through.
I'm not going to like you as much. Wow.
If that's not a threat.
What you're seeing right here, that is an absolute threat. I mean, here's the future of the Republican Party. I've seen the word civil war thrown around in the Republican Party over the past few days. I've seen people like Steve Schmidt, of course, who worked on John McCain's campaign. I've seen a number of Republicans, more centrist, Lincoln Project Republicans, saying that this is really going to be the end of the Republican Party as we know it. The split between Trumpism, populism, and, the rest of the conservative party. Last night, we keep hearing this idea of the Patriot Party. Will Trump be the leader of the so-called Patriot Party? And of course, there are reports that he's going to be flying to Scotland on the night before the inauguration on the 19th of January, and flying into Scotland to his Turnberry resort there. And he's going to announce his re-election, or he's going to announce his running for re-election for 2024. His presidential campaign will take flight on Air Force One as he flies out. And then, will he start his own party? Will he put an end to the Republican Party as we know it? What do you think is going to happen? But if Vice President Pence doesn't come through for us, I'm not going to like him as much. I'm not going to like him as much.
Through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much.
So the certification of the election results is going to be the big story. Well, tomorrow morning, folks, we're going to have a busy, busy show because Vice President Pence, of course, is the president of the Senate. So he will preside over the official ceremony, which will ratify the election results. The states turn in their official results, and the Senate, really all it's supposed to do is just, they take them and they certify them. They write them down in the Senate logs and the House logs, and that's it. And Joe Biden becomes president. But of course, right now, there are 100 House members, perhaps even 140 Republicans, that apparently might join in the protest. There are 13 senators, so that's more than half of Capitol Hill's Republicans could want to overturn or try to push to overturn the election results. More than half of the Republicans in Congress will cast an unprecedented number of votes to invalidate President-elect Biden's win. They will certify these Electoral College votes tomorrow. They won't change the outcome, but they're going to drag this out for this unusually low drama process. It's usually pretty boring when it happens, right? They just certify them and it's done and it's already been through. The state's ratified, it's already done. This shows, though, the political strength could put people like Senator Mitch McConnell and other establishment Republicans into exile. Here's the civil war we're talking about. Mitch McConnell doesn't support this. He doesn't support throwing out the ratification of these votes or overturning the Electoral College results. So he's got a fracture right down the middle of his party. Will he support a Senator Ted Cruz, who's saying ridiculous things and really embarrassing himself on Fox the other day? Watch this. And then I also want to show you Josh Hawley, equally bizarre.
Well, listen, I think everyone needs to calm down. I think we need to tone down the rhetoric. This is already a volatile situation. It's like a tinderbox and throwing lit matches into it. And so I think the kind of hyperbole we're seeing, the kind of angry language, yesterday when I released my statement with 10 other senators, I had multiple Democrats urging that I should be arrested and tried for the crimes of sedition and treason. Now, look, that's not helpful. At a time when this country, when we're pitted against each other, just relax and let's do our jobs.
So what is your job? What is your job under the Constitution? Because this doesn't actually exist in here. Let's read the Constitution, okay? President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president. Okay? And it goes on. So we go down to the bottom here. We're going to add this in. Upon such a reading, of any such certificate or paper, the president of the Senate shall call for objections, if any. So basically, this doesn't exist. Under number 3, U.S. Code 15, we cannot authorize Congress to reject uncontested certified Electoral College ballots, because the 12th Amendment makes it crystal clear that the certified ballots are to be counted. So you can't, there is no law. So we got to just do our jobs. And I want to tamp down the hyperbole. Let's just tamp down all of the rhetoric and hyperbole. Well, this snake oil salesman is the leader, is one of the leaders of that hyperbole. Lying through his teeth on a regular basis. And don't get me started. Just finish your statement, Ted.
We have a responsibility to follow the law.
You're a constitutionalist. You wrote an entire book about it. What does the Constitution tell us about who decides who the president should be? What if the commission that you are explaining does form, comes back with actual evidence of fraud? Then what happens?
Well, then the results have to be set aside. If there's evidence of fraud and it's substantial and significant enough to affect the results in a particular state, then those election results would have to be set aside. And the states would then have to determine, all right, we have...
No, that's not true. So you're a constitutionalist. You wrote a book on the Constitution, yet you don't know what's in the Constitution.
Have a valid claim here. The evidence supports it. We need to conduct elections consistent with the law. You know, the Constitution gives the responsibility of counting the ballots to the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Mike Pence, and to both houses of Congress. And the framers of the Constitution, when they assigned a task to the Congress, they knew what they were doing. You know, there's some folks who are saying...
But you don't.
This is purely a ministerial act. They just have to, you know, count them and walk out, and you have no judgment whatsoever. Well, that frankly doesn't make any sense. Why would the framers give to Congress something that could be given to a clerk? The reason they gave it to Congress is they understood there are difficult determinations about what counts as a valid vote. You know, following the 1876 election, 10 years later, in 1887, Congress passed a statute, the statute that we're operating under. It's called the Electoral Count Act. And what it provides is the mechanism for raising an objection. And it says you can raise an objection if the votes were not regularly made by lawfully certified electors. And so.
Okay. So then what are you doing? You just made your own point. This is amazing. Can we? I'm just going to send him a copy of the Constitution. I'm sure he probably hasn't read it, or maybe he's read somebody else's Constitution. I don't know. I remind you, in 1861, there were a number of members of Congress that were kicked out for the same thing, for trying to do the same thing. Facts. Josh Hawley also, Josh Hawley, who, of course, you know exactly what he's doing right now. He's trying to take up the mantle of the Trumpian part of the party right now, supporting those $2,000 stimulus checks, showing that populist strain and standing up to his Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, taking on the Trump mantle, also trying to throw out these election results. So he was on television last night and pressed by this by Brett Baer, who I think is a great reporter and a great journalist. And you can never really pin him down on what side of the fence he's on. I think he's always been fair as long as I've known him, and he's a decent human being on top of it. Here's his question to Josh Hawley and trying to understand, like, what are you doing, man?
I'm going to pin you down on what you're trying to do. You know, are you trying to say that as of January 20th, that President Trump will be president?
Well, Brett, that depends on what happens on Wednesday. I mean, this is why we have the debate.
No, it doesn't. I mean, the states, by the Constitution, say they certify the election. They did certify it. By the Constitution, Congress doesn't have the right to overturn the certification, at least as most experts read it.
Well, Congress is directed under the 12th Amendment to count the electoral votes. There's a statute that dates back to the 19th century, that says that there is a right to object, there's a right to be heard, and there's also a certification
process.
Right,
that's from 1876, Senator, and it's right. the Tilden-Hayes race, in which there were three states that did not certify their electors. So Congress was left to come up with this system, this commission, that eventually got to a negotiated grand bargain. But now all of the states have certified their elections as of December 14th, so it doesn't, by constitutional ways, open a door to Congress to overturn that, does it?
Well, no, I'm talking about the statute, Brett. There's a statute that says, that governs what Congress does on January the 6th, and it says that we have a vote of certification and that we-
He just got schooled, by the way. He should have read that statute. He should have read what he was talking about, which actually Ted Cruz was talking about just a few moments ago and still doesn't say what they think it says. Still doesn't give them the right to certify these results. They've already been certified by the states. They can object. That doesn't do anything to them.
We have the opportunity to debate the results, to certify the results. We count them, and then we certify. And my point is, this is my only opportunity during this process to raise an objection and to be heard. I don't have standing to file lawsuits.
I don't have standing really to do anything. I love this. So again, make no mistake about what Josh Hawley's doing, right? He is setting the stage for a run in 2024. He's taking on that populist wing of the party right now. He's going to be a champion of the, you know, of Trump supporters, who's taken up this mantle, pushing for $2,000 stimulus checks, calling for us to object, you know, in the Senate. But Vice President Pence has shown no signs that he plans to do that, and called to have that lawsuit that Louis Gohmert pushed to have that overturned as well. So there doesn't look to be any support from Mike Pence on this issue. And this is, I mean, this is the telling moment here in this party. I mean, I think you're seeing tomorrow, we could see the beginnings of a brand new political party tomorrow in this country on the Republican side. I mean, look what the Tea Party was able to do to Republicans, right? In the same way, look what this so-called Patriot Party could do to Republicans. And people leading that charge, like Ted Cruz and Senator Josh Hawley, and led by President Trump, if he announces he's going to run again. Who would be able to stop him? Mitt Romney? Mitch McConnell? Good luck. Not going to happen. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the comments. Am I right? Do you think there's going to be a new party emerging, or are we stuck with the same two-party system for the rest of our lives? I would love to see this happen. I would love to see a fracturing of these parties. I would love to see a split in the Democratic Party and a progressive wing really take hold. But we've been stuck with this two-party system forever, and no independent party has ever really managed to gain as much traction, frankly, as the Tea Party was able to do, and really get rid of leadership in the House of Representatives and so forth. So I would welcome this new debate. I'd love to see it. Especially what we saw yesterday. I want to get to the House rules change in just a second. I want to tell you about our friends over at Atomic Social once again, in case you didn't get a chance to see them. Our friends over here at Atomic Social, you can get up to 50% off just for working with them to build a website. Atomic Social is an industry-leading marketing firm that specializes in website design and search engine optimization. And I've looked at the websites that they build, and they do an amazing job. So their normal value is $3,000 to build a website. For our audience only, they're going to do it for 50% off of that. And all you do is click on the request a quote button, and you'll jump on the phone with them for 20 minutes. So when you click on that button right on their page by going to morninginvest.com/atomic, you'll come to this calendar, and you can pick the date and time that you want for 20 minutes. You'll jump on the phone with them, and they'll for free. And you'll talk with them about your idea to start your own website, start your own business, because now is the best time, right now, to consider going into business for yourself, to take action on something that you want to build for you and your family, because God knows Congress isn't going to do it for you. So go to morninginvest.com/atomic to start something special today and get 50% off. Our thanks to them. I want to tell you about what happened on Monday. Now, probably many of you were living your normal lives, right? You weren't paying attention to what Congress was doing. God, I hope not. But we were here and watching what Congress was doing, and they were voting on their rules change for the 117th Congress. Normally a pretty boring time. You know, normally laying out how they're going to bring laws to the floor, et cetera. It's pretty boring. But on Monday, the House adopted a new set of rules for the 117th Congress in a 217-206 party line vote. So everyone on the Democrats voted for it. Republicans voted for it 206. You had some dissenting voices on the Democratic side, but it was a party line vote. No one crossed the aisle. The House adopted a new set of rules with provisions to extend remote voting during the pandemic, protect whistleblowers, good stuff, and limit the minority's ability to amend legislation on the floor. But there were some other things that floated through here, which there were packages to include language that would make significant changes to the motion to recommit a particular bill, which is a procedural tool used by the minority party to alter bills at the 11th hour on the floor, if they wanted to add something in, et cetera, instead of amending legislation ahead of the final vote, which takes a long time. That's in there. Republicans who have successfully utilized this motion to make vulnerable Democrats take hard votes, and they highlight divisions within the Democratic Party over the past 2 years. So Democrats haven't liked this, of course. And they've slammed this as a move like a power grab. Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy says, the Democrats just destroyed over 100 years of representation in Congress, he said. Nancy Pelosi wants to silence your voice and consolidate what little power she has left. And boy, did he get in trouble for this, by the way. He was slammed on the, he actually was then reminded of this and was slammed, Representative McCarthy was, under House Rule 17.1A. He was reprimanded for doing that last night. But there were some other things that unfolded during these rules change, which are raising quite a few eyebrows this morning, and making me wonder, along with many others, David, I know as well, like, why in the world is the House of Representatives wasting its time on things like this, which is, you cannot bring a bill to the floor if it has any gender-specific language in it. Woman, father, mother, daughter, son, grandfather, grandmother. This is the stuff, this is literally the stuff that the House of Representatives was spending its time on. And you want to know, like, why we are in a failed state right now? Look no further than to this type of afternoon in the House of Representatives during a pandemic, during the rules changing process on your very first full day as new Congress. This is what you're spending your time doing.
And who's asking for this? Who is asking for this?
Good question. Special interests. I mean, and I don't know what special interests are calling for this. Who literally right now is saying we must pass gender neutral language in the House of Representatives, removing the right to recommit votes without having to go through the entire legislative amendment process. Like, I get certain things in here, like, you know, certain provisions in here that made sense, like whistleblower protections. Yes, those have been weakened over the past few years. So that part is good. So someone can come forward and not feel like their family is going to be ruined as a result. But you're right. Who's calling for this?
Well, and they're going to do this, remove all those gender terms. But what about, like, they were praying? When's religion going to get removed?
Right. Well, and even among the prayers, of course, like, there's gendered language in the prayers. So Tulsi Gabbard, you know, we're a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard around here. She ran for president, didn't do so well, but we wish that she would have. Progressive voice calling out this BS. Of course, she voted against the $600 stimulus package because she thought it was big money for Wall Street and not enough money for the American people. She's been an outspoken voice of reason for progressives. She spoke out about this last night on the Tucker Carlson show, and just take a listen with an open mind about what she had to say about this.
How does this empower women exactly? That's a question that Tulsi Gabbard, who is a former congresswoman from Hawaii, a Democrat, has been pondering. She introduced a bill last year to stop biological males from participating in women's sports. That bill is expected to be introduced later this month. And we said former, we didn't mean it, because until January 20th, she still serves. And we're thankful for that. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us tonight. So how does it empower women to ban the acknowledgement that women exist?
It absolutely does the very opposite of that. And it's the height of hypocrisy for people who claim to be the champions of rights for women to deny the very biological existence of women. And this recent rule change that the House just actually voted and passed on today that you were talking about, removing references to, you know, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters from congressional rules and administration, it's mind-blowing because it shows just how out of touch with reality and the struggles of everyday Americans people in Congress are, but also it shows that, you know, their first act as this new Congress could have been to make sure that elderly Americans are able to get the COVID vaccine now alongside frontline healthcare workers, elderly Americans who have the highest mortality rates from this virus. But instead of doing something that could actually help save people's lives, they're choosing instead to say, well, you can't say mother or father in any of this congressional language. It's astounding.
It's confusing, too, because the very people who claim to celebrate diversity, differences, and differences are what make the world interesting and worth living in my opinion, are the same ones trying to impose by force this creepy corporate sameness where we're all sort of widgets in a bin waiting for assembly. Like, do they really think there aren't differences between the sexes? Honestly, sincere question.
I don't know how to answer or explain what they think. And this is why Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen and I, we introduced my legislation, the Protect Women's Sports Act that you briefly mentioned, out of a recognition that this legislation is actually necessary. When you look at why Title IX was created, it was created out of this recognition that there is a biological distinction between men and women and boys and girls. And it recognized that because of that, there needs to be a level playing field for girls and women to be able to compete and play in sports. Now, the reason why our bill is necessary to strengthen and clarify and uphold Title IX is because of the things that you're talking about, because there are people who are trying to undermine the very place by denying my existence, denying
exactly
the existence of biological women. It defies common sense. It defies basic established science. It just doesn't make any sense.
No wonder they called you a Russian spy. It was dangerous having you in the Democratic Party. I'm sorry you're leaving. Congressman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, it's great to see you tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Tucker.
Let me know your thoughts on that in the chat below. Do you agree with Tulsi? Or do you agree with changing this language so that we can't use the word mother, father, grandmother in language in the House? You know what? I think it's hypocritical, too. I love, because when you—this is great, and they brought this up. But look at Nancy Pelosi's Twitter bio here. Speaker of the House, right? Here's what she says. Speaker of the House, focused on strengthening America's middle class and creating jobs. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. And I'm a dark chocolate connoisseur. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. You can't say that, Nancy. Can't say what you are.
She just hasn't had time to update it. I want to point us out something else, too. Like the guy that said, you know, when they prayed and he said amen and the a woman, technically he should have said amen and a women. I just want to say it because, you know, amen and a woman doesn't make any sense.
Right. Or and men and women. Amen and a women.
And a women.
What is that? Latin, by the way? Or what is that?
I believe so.
Greek? Latin? It's all Greek to me. So
it's not gender specific. That's the point.
Right. Exactly. It's singular. But I just find it ridiculous. Like, this is, and I think Tulsi was right in saying, like, you know, instead of focusing on something meaningful on this first day during a pandemic, when, oh, by the way, we're facing some of the worst jobs numbers we've seen yet, when millions are about to lose health insurance or still struggling to pay their rent, get food on the table. This is what they're spending time doing. So Kevin McCarthy yesterday was fired up about this. He took to the floor to smash Nancy Pelosi. Let me see if I can get that sound up here. I did have it. Why am I not prepared with that today?
And if that passed, didn't Republicans have to get on board with that too?
I mean, that would be the rules. I mean, yeah.
So that means, but like,
yeah.
Like, who's padding their pockets?
They would have to be on. Right. I mean, again, I think special interests, I don't know. I mean, this is what, and what troubles me about this is, you know, I'm a progressive. I am left. You know, I'm Bernie Sanders left. But then I feel like you have like Nancy, you have like Tulsi Gabbard, who I agree with. I think you have, it's like when you get that far left, it's like you almost come back to a reasonable place of sanity. I don't know, because like Chuck Schumer, I guess, supports that kind of stuff. Nancy Pelosi supports that kind of stuff. But then when you get over to that side of the party, when you get over into the, you know, AOC, you get over into the Bernie Sanders wing, I guess, or the focused on actually helping people, I think maybe they start to have reason come back. I don't know. I don't know that any of them support this crap. I would be surprised if Bernie Sanders supported these changes to House rules.
That's public. We need to find that bill and see who voted on it. Just out of curiosity, to see who voted yes on that bill.
Now, to be fair, of course, there are a lot of things in this thing that you would vote for. See, this is the conundrum, right? So whistleblower protections, like there's a whole slew of things in here that you would vote yes for. But then when you lump in like no gender specific language in there, you're like, so now I'm not going to support whistleblowers because I don't want someone to use the word grandmother in a bill. Like, and you're like, oh, what do you do? You know, just vote your conscience on everything and just say, nope, not voting for it. Like Tulsi Gabbard did, right? Nope. Sorry. You want to shove this other crap in here? Not going to vote for it. Not voting for $600 stimulus checks when you just gave another billions of dollars to Wall Street. Not going to do it. Steve Clark makes a great point. Amen is Latin for so be it. It has nothing to do with men or women. Right. It's not men. It's not men or women.
Well, and like somebody was pointing out in chat, does that mean history is going to become herstory? Like you can't say history is...
Stop the madness. Yeah, let me know in the chat. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
That's like it. This also reminds me of that other legislation that was in the stimulus package that they forced through that the Trump signed, where they can depict Smokey the Bear smoking a cigarette.
Right. Like that was, you know, illegal what I thought before.
I know, and you know what I thought in my head? I was like, "There's got to be. I'll bet you George Bush." President George Bush has a stockpile of paintings that he can't release and sell because he's painted Smokey the Bear with a cigarette. So he lobbied Congress to get them to pass that so that he can release all these paintings he's done.
But see, then there is stuff that gets crammed into some of these bills that I support, like the UFO disclosure. So someone was asking about that. Of course, if you follow my other channel, I've got a whole a paranormal channel. We're going to release a new video there tonight on our Paranormal Post YouTube channel. Check it out. Let me pull it up here in case you missed it, but it's youtube.com/paranormalpost where we cover UFO related stories and unexplained stories, but, holding the government accountable, for these things. And by the way, under the COVID legislation, lawmakers are demanding answers from the U.S. intelligence agencies. They have 6 months to come forward and tell about their knowledge of UFOs and other identified aerial phenomenon. Under the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal 2021, which provides more resources towards investigating, gathering, and strengthening open source intelligence. This comes from Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Some of that information says that they must report on the collected UFO data 180 days from the bill's passage, according to the legislation, anomalous aerial vehicles, and they want to see a full report on it. So that I'm in favor of. I don't know how that has anything to do with COVID relief, but I am for it because it doesn't cost us any money. But here is my Paranormal Post channel. I'd love for you to come over and subscribe if you're into this kind of stuff. You want to hear more about these unexplained stories and the government, etc. YouTube.com/ParanormalPost. We have a new video going up tonight, and I'm excited about it. So it's really interesting story, which we'll publish tonight. So I hope you'll go subscribe over there. So that's going to do it for our show. Obviously, folks, we got a busy day. Georgia election. We'll be back later today with updates and results as it comes in. If we have anything for you, we will. I don't expect a lot of Georgia results, you know, the finalized results for a few days, but we will see what unfolds. We don't know. We'll also be watching the certification process in the Senate tomorrow. We've got a big jobs report on Friday. It is a very busy week. So keep your eyes right here, and we will continue to cover the stories that are meaningful for you and your family. Finally, Grover's back in his seat. Grover, now you're getting up. I don't want to see a butt shot.
Twerk.
Don't you know anything about cameras? Work, yeah. Come on, work that runway, Grover.
Twerk, twerk, come on. Let's see it.
Twerk, twerk. Oh, man. So thanks for all of your support and subscribing to the channel. Oh, I forgot to mention our newsletter. Yes, we've got our daily newsletter, which goes out. It's free to subscribe, by the way. We publish it every day, Monday through Friday. So if you subscribe, you will receive it in your inbox first thing in the morning. We cover the news stories that I think are important for you and your family. We do it with a little bit of humor and some fun as well. You can read it about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. Going to morninginvest.com to grab that free newsletter. We really appreciate the all of our new subscribers over there. Thank you so much for helping us hit our annual goals. That really made us happy.
And we also...
So thank you so much.
Thank you to the 29 new members we got today. You guys, thank you so much for becoming a member of the channel. We appreciate that as well. That helps support independent media.
You know what I should do is go through some of the super chats. If anybody placed a super chat question here that I missed. So I think we said we're going to try to start doing that at the end of the show here. Nicole Johnson, $1.99 super chat says, hey, you. Hey, Nicole. Nice to see you. Thank you for your support. Jennifer Duran, nice to see you. Michelle Boykin, thank you for your hello. Jermaine Grady says, H&R Block screwed up my stimulus check. And then I was told I was going to be charged a $200 fee to send it back to the IRS and have them mail it to me. That's garbage. H&R Block, if that's true, that is horrendous. So H&R Block, and this is the problem with these companies, right? They're sort of intermediaries, and in many ways, they were sort of thrown under the bus and thrust into this process. But look, they opted to be intermediaries by giving people out these cards, right? So you can get your tax refund on this H&R Block card. And that's how the IRS was sending that money to those H&R Block cards. So if H&R Block screwed it up, I would absolutely demand that they remove a $200 fee for sending it back. That's ridiculous. Margie M., thank you for your super chat. U.S. Navy guy, thank you for your super chat. Devin Divine, thank you for your super chat. Welcome Victor Abrams, our new channel member. Sherry Jameson, new channel member. Eric Proctor is a new channel member. Kyle Meads is a new member as well. Angie C2870. Ruben Delgado, thank you for your super chat. If they forgive $50,000 for school, will it be like a credit to pay for my future school and fees? Will it be like a credit? That's a great question. We don't know. I mean, so Ruben's asking, if they just wipe away $50,000 in student loan debt, the goal would be that they would give free public college to all Americans so that you wouldn't have to pay anything like they do in Europe and other parts of the world, and they have better university systems and better teachers, better professors than we do in the United States in many of these schools. Why do you think people go to the Netherlands to go to school? The best. My wife keeps stepping on a squeaky dog bone. It's this big. You have a whole room to walk. She steps on the one dog bone.
Twice.
I'm going to put that at our front door to block us against robberies. Damn dog bone. Squeak. Lindsey Kirkpatrick, thank you for your super chat. Clayton, what do you think of, do you think Biden will pass once he's sworn in, and how quick do you think it will happen? Just your personal opinion. My personal opinion is that they're already putting this all together so that on day one, he's not going to do an inaugural parade. He's going to have the military escort him over to the White House. I think on that day one, in that cold January 20th at the White House, he is going to be signing a ton of shit. executive actions like you've never seen before. And I would love to see that there's some sort of massive executive action either on stimulus, or there's a bill in place already that's lined up and passes the House of Representatives and Senate if they win in Georgia, and goes right to his desk and he signs it the day he walks over there. So again, they're not having a big military parade. They're just going to have him, the military is going to escort him to the White House in a small ceremony. That's it. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see action. I don't want to see these big dancing balls and all this stuff. You know, I don't need to see Beyonce singing on the whatever. I want to see work done. Let's see other questions here. Victor Abrams, new member. Lena Cahill, thank you for your super chat. Margie M, thank you. U.S. Navy guy, good morning from Florida. Thank you for your service, U.S. Navy guy. Ed Millar, thank you, says Ed. Ed says, as always, you gentlemen give us reliable news. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate that. Peter Dubin, thank you for your super chat. Ryan Weatherholtz is a new channel member. Sherry Durnell, thank you for your GIF, your super chat. Appreciate it. Christy Rivenbark, good morning, everyone from North Carolina. Thank you, Christy. Eddie Panero, nice to see you. Marvina Simpson is a new channel member. Let's see, any other good questions here? Lala Foucault, Deborah Johnson, Shelley Rivera, Jermaine Grady. Oh, you were asking about the H&R Block thing. I would, first of all, ask to speak to a supervisor and tell them that you're going to come on my show. Tell them that you've already spoken to the press about this. That'll move some needles. Tell them that you've talked to members of the news media about this, and they said, before we do anything more on this story, which I will cover this H&R Block story on my show. And if I hear from anybody else who's received these types of threats, tell me about it, and I will cover it here on my show. And we will cover it in our newsletter, by the way. So tell them, I'd like to speak to a supervisor. I'm speaking to the press about this, and I want this $200 fee removed. You guys screwed this up. I should not have to pay this. That's what I would do. Niecy White. And by the way, I won't stand for it. So I will cover it here on our show and in our newsletter, and I'll make sure as many people know about it as possible. Michael Bear, $10 super chat. The not-so-Federal Reserve Bank will just have to print some more fiat currency and bloat the economy even more. This is corporate social fascism that has its roots in the Rothschild usury system. Thank you, Michael. Well, I mean, ever since we've removed ourselves from the gold standard, you know, government fiat currency, what's it tied to? Right? It's not tied to any precious metals. That's why governments around the world are hoarding gold right now. That's why Bitcoin is at $28,000 for a Bitcoin right now. Mustafa, thank you for your super chat, said, my moment of enlightening was when you said Michelle made $30,000 a day. I want to puke when you said that. I'm so happy I found your channel.
Not Michelle. It's Rachel Maddow.
Who's? Oh, Rachel Maddow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Ashland is here. Doris, thank you for becoming a member. Luis Torres. Zart13X, thank you for your... They have direct deposit info, but no $600 yet. Its site was overloaded and glitchy yesterday. Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, I slammed the ObamacareHealthcare.gov rollout when that thing rolled out. You spent, what was it, $10 billion to build a website? David, could you build a website for less than $10 billion, do you think, that would actually work and not crash?
Yeah, I mean, why didn't they hire Atomic Social? Like $3,000.
Exactly. Yeah, and get 50% off. They could literally have hired Atomic Social for $1,500 and built a better, actual stable website than what the government builds. Unbelievable.
I would definitely give it a really hard try for $1 billion. I mean,
I'd give it the old college try for a billion. Mustafa says, Clayton, your honest opinion, you think Democrats will win in Georgia? I can't wait up for the results, or I can't wait for the results. I think if early votes are any indication, yes. I think the margins were pretty large already in the first election in November, but they were still within that 50%. But yeah, Raphael Warnock, nice big win. I mean, but not big enough for the 50% majority you need in Georgia to not trigger a runoff. So, I mean, if they can get out the same people that voted and increase that amount significantly, I think their chances are pretty good. But it's anyone's guess. But you remember, all of the money from both parties now funneling into Georgia. So I'll be stunned if they don't win. Elizabeth Middleton got her stimulus check on December 31st. My birthday. Woohoo. Way to go. Joseph says, thank you for your super chat. What happens to the dollar if this endless stimulus is passed? $25 gallon of milk, $35 gallon of gas? Serious question. I'm on the fence with this. That's a great question. It's a great question. I mean, but I think if you can have a Congress that actually balances its budget and reduces the amount it's sending overseas, we already have, like, we are the wealthiest country in the world. So this endless stimulus is not like an endless pumping of money where there's no accountability for it. I mean, you're taxing, the fact that Amazon pays nothing in taxes. I mean, this tax code is about to be rewritten so that the revenue comes from these companies that are funneling money to overseas accounts, not paying taxes at home, paying zero, and then the American worker in the tax code is paying more than Amazon? Warren Buffett famously talks about how the tax code needs to be changed because he, as an investor, pays less in taxes than his secretary does, because the W-2 employee gets screwed the most in the tax code. It's true. If you work for somebody else, you're screwed more than anyone else. And that's wrong. I mean, it's wrong because if the American worker is the backbone of this economy, 70% of our GDP is fueled by the American worker and consumer spending. The American worker is what keeps our engine running. And we tax them the most and have the most unfavorable tax system for Americans with no health care. And yet people like Warren Buffett are taxed way less than you are. Something's broken. Ava Harker says, will Biden be president if they object to the certification? Yes, because they can't do anything about it. That was the point. I mean, that's what Brett Baer was talking about. You can say you object, but that doesn't change the process at all. The certification will happen whether or not you object or not. It doesn't alter the outcome. This is just for political, you know, optics. That's it. JBird904, thank you for your super chat. IRS has my bank info for the last 15 years and yet no $600, and I do qualify. Should I keep my hopes up? Yes, I would keep your hopes up. When is the last time you filed taxes, JBird? Did you file last year? But JBird, I would go to their website, go to irs.gov. And if the site's not crashing right now, here on your screen, see this big blue button in the middle of the screen, right on their front page, the Get My Payment tab. Click on that. Make sure your information is in there and update your information. Just read the website. It's all right there. Let's see. Frank Raganese, issues with account numbers on IRS. The account number listed is sometimes the account of the tax prep service, who then deposit it into your account. Had this happen with H&R Block, and they are depositing it today. Yeah, so got to make sure these account numbers are correct. Thank you, Frank. Glad to hear they're depositing it today. Welcome, Cheryl Martin. KCAA Television is a new member. Ashley S., thank you for joining. Eric G. says, hey, genius, it's called a People's Party. Join the movement. Watch Jimmy Dore. It's starting now. Oh, I know all about the People's Party. And thank you for calling me a genius. I appreciate that, Eric. I always appreciate those kind words. Frey Fra says, the new curse words for 2021, son, daughter, he, her, family, mom, and dad. Amen, Christ, love, biological science, and logic. Don't say those words. Those are all curse words. Thank you, Kevin Harton. I appreciate you as well. Says, thank you, guys. I really appreciate everything you do. Ray Kiefer is a new channel member. Amy Perkins, thank you so much. They should give stimulus to tax preparers so people who need help can file taxes for free. Or they file taxes for free. Tony Van Horn, so I still haven't gotten my stimulus, and the IRS says that they don't have enough information. Have you, Tony, used that? I know they say not to call. If you go to their website, they say, please don't call us. But if you put in your information using the Get My Payment tab down here at the bottom of the screen, then they should have your information, or check with them to make sure it's updated. And this website, everyone's reporting, it should be up and running. I know they were having some issues with it yesterday, so just give it a day, and hopefully, or try to do it in off-peak hours. So thank you guys for all of your super chats and your kind interaction today, and all of our new channel members. We have 36 new channel members. I really appreciate that. So much love to all of you guys. Mary Harrington, thank you so much for your super chat as well. We're going to wrap things up now. We will see you back here later today. We're going to be watching these election results. Keep it tuned right here to the channel. If you're new here, please subscribe to the channel. It's totally free right down here in the... Are you all channel subscribers? I hope you are. Right here.
On YouTube.
Hit that little subscribe button.
That only works on YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah. I forget to do it.
I got to say that every day.
And I know.
On Facebook, they're like, what eventually. The hell is he talking about? What? I don't see any button. They're like all confused.
And on Facebook, what is it? You click follow? I don't know what you do on Facebook.
Yeah, you follow the page.
Okay, you follow our page on Facebook. Did we change that over there yet? Is it still? We're changing it up, but I don't know that it's... We haven't changed it yet.
Yeah, I'm still working. Facebook told me that the name Morning Invest is not allowed, so I'm working on that.
That's garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. All right, everyone. Much love to all of you. Thanks for a great show today. Thanks for your support of Morning Invest. We'll see you back here a little bit later today. Where'd Grover go?
I'm over here.
He disappeared. Grover, are you there?
I'm over here.
No. I don't see you, Grover. Bye, everyone.